You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon to you. We say hello to you on a Monday here in the capital city. Jimmy B and TC, Jim and Trent, you can always get in on the show at 264-1700. Once again, 264-1700. And a great program lined up today. Zubin Mahente at 420 from ESPN. And all the zaniness that took place in the National Football League yesterday. Wow. At 440, John Bonecamp will be here. We'll get his thoughts on the Hawks, basketball-wise and football-wise, as they continue to get ready for the Pinstripe Bowl. At 515, you and I, head basketball coach Ben Jacobson, will be our guest. And at 5:35, Wolfgang joins the program. Trent, did you have a good weekend, kid?
Yeah, can't complain, Jimmy B. All good there and getting ready for a good week. We got pretty excellent both Saturday and Sunday overall, you'd have to say, of sports. Yeah. So excited about the way things went.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was some decent bowl games. That was fun.
Yeah.
College basketball was entertaining. And then yesterday was off the chart. I still can't wrap my head around everything that took place yesterday in the NFL. That was nuts.
Two pretty distinct plays overall, Jim.
Yes.
Two that'll be, I think, examined a lot in the coming months after the season goes down. What constitutes a catch? And the NFL has made their own bet here as it pertains to
right.
What is a catch? The difficult nature of figuring it out, where growing up, and Jim, for your years of covering the game, it was pretty simple. We knew what a catch was for the most part, but it is so convoluted anymore. It is so, well, did you have control? Did you maintain control? Was it through the process? Did you make a football move? All these different parts of it that the NFL rule book is very, it explains what it is, and the rule was followed to the letter of the law in the Steelers-Patriots game. That was not a catch. Yep. But shouldn't just general thought processes of what a catch is, shouldn't it just be as simple as if you see it, you know what it is? You remember the old court case against your buddy Larry Flint, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was,
go for it.
Yeah, well, and it came to the Supreme Court, and it was, well, I'll know it when I see it, right? When they're talking about porn,
yes.
And I'll know it when I see it. Well, same thing here.
Yeah.
You know it when you see it. When you see a catch, if you know it's a catch, it's a catch.
It's a catch.
It's a catch. It needs to be simplified. It's a catch in the high school game. It's a catch in the college game. But in the pro game, for whatever reason, it has to be so difficult. It takes away enjoyment of the game. Then we know what happens afterwards, and the Steelers, well, what a dumb play by Ben Roethlisberger. And how about Roethlisberger throwing the coaches under the bus saying, well, I wanted to spike it. That guy, he annoys the crap out of me. He really does. He just annoys me from, oh, I don't know where you guys are getting this talk about me retiring. It's because he said it a couple weeks before, you moron. And then you're wondering where all this media talk about him retiring is coming from. It came from you. He's such a prima donna. I loathe Ben Roethlisberger. I enjoy the Steelers. I like the Steelers. I like the organization. I like the fans that I meet, and there are plenty of them, even scattered here in Iowa. But boy, Ben Roethlisberger, he just bothers me.
I can tell. Jeez, he annoys the crap out of me. Wow. Okay, fair enough on that one. The other one really caught me off guard because of all the years, Trent, that I have called college NFL games, I cannot remember, and I was scratching my head all day yesterday, if I had ever seen anybody take a white card and put it down between the football and the first down marker. I can honestly tell you I have never, in my 222 years of covering football, I have never seen that ever before. Not even the high school level, the college level, or the NFL level. I've never seen that before. And you know what? That's legal. It's legal for you to do that. I was like stunned.
Yeah. The thing about it that was kind of made me chuckle, when Gene Saratore, as he's walking away, he's chuckling to himself. Chuckling to himself. And how about the sticks? Which, all right, it's 2017. Can't we come up with something a little bit better, especially at the NFL level, than two sticks that are chained together 10 yards apart? We can't come up with...
I got news for you. I love the sticks.
Why?
It's just old school. It's the way football was made to be played. And now we're going to put another electro... I know people are going nuts on Twitter. Put a chip in it.
Yes.
Put a chip here.
Yes.
Put lasers there.
Sure.
No. No.
Why
no.
not? Why not? Don't you want to better the game? Don't you want improvement?
Because then I feel like what's going to happen here, it's just going to turn into a video game. I don't want a video game.
So
I found it interesting what he did. I told you, in all the games that I have called, I have never seen that before. Never.
Because it doesn't happen. Because you don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You see it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even have the stick straight. It should be straight up and down, and they had the thing bent over. There has to be a better way than what they have, Jimmy B. This is the NFL. This is a billion-dollar corporation.
I
understand at the high school level, yeah, you're going to have the sticks. Even at the collegiate level, you have the sticks. But the NFL, and it comes down to things that minute, that small. When it comes down to that, it's so bothersome. And then on top of it, we get to Oakland last night. Raiders going in, Carr diving for the end zone, fumbles it out, and a touchback. And that rule, why does the defense get the ball at the 20? Why?
I have no clue. No clue. I hate that rule.
There's no justification behind it. You want guys efforting to score. That's exactly what he was doing. If it was knocked out, if it was forced by the defense, I can get that. But it was just, it came out of his hand. And the defense then is able to take over. The offense gets the ball at the 20-yard line. Put it at the spot. Even if that happens and they bring it back to, say, the 20-yard line, something along those lines, and the offense is penalized, sure, because I do believe there has to be some kind of penalty. You don't want guys just out there chucking it at the pylon, and if it comes loose, well, we'll get it at where I quote-unquote fumble the ball. So I get that part of it. You don't want to just make it a spot foul where wherever it fumbles it goes back to. Maybe bring them back to the 20-something, but this, it's not the way it was intended to be done. And it's another frustrating avenue. The defense does nothing, yet they're given the football. It's ridiculous.
I'm with you 100%. To me, that is just a terrible rule. I hope that when the season is over and the competition committee sits down, I hope that is one that they change, to be honest with you. I never liked that rule, and because you just summed it up. You said guys are putting in the extra effort to get to the end zone, to try to score. I mean, that's what the game is all about. I feel like I'm doing Herm Edwards here. Hello, you play to win the game. That's exactly what players do. They want to win. And look, he stretched out and went for it. And he was hit from behind. The ball slid out of his hands. It went past the pylon and out of bounds. Touchback. And the other team gets it. I'm with you. I sure hope that that is a rule that they change and do something else with it, Trent.
Well, Jimmy B, as you go through and you take a look at what we saw over the weekend, a lot of NFL. We'll talk more about that here in the coming hours. But we got to get into the Big Four Classic. We got a lot of that obviously coming up here. We'll talk with John Bonacamp. He was there. Get his thoughts on things. Ben Jacobson, the head coach from you and I. We'll talk to Wolfgang later in the 5 o'clock hour. But Jimmy B, the Big Four Classic, attendance was down this year, but we're not going to talk about that at the get-go. Let's just talk about the games. Game one, Drake, Iowa. I told you on Friday, I felt like
you did.
The Drake love had gone a little bit too far. They played incredibly well up in Minneapolis. This is still a program that goes 6-2, 6-1, 6-2, 6-3 out of their first four positions. And Iowa was a matchup that was going to be difficult. Tyler Cook had an excellent game. Dunks all over the place. Iowa pulls away. And maybe, just maybe, Iowa finally with the full complement of players. Nicholas Bear now out there doing Nicholas Bear things, getting steals, blocking shots, just doing those hustle kind of plays. McCaffrey giving them some minutes. Maybe this is finally the Iowa team we expected we were going to see at the beginning of the year.
I hope you're right. And it was a second half that Iowa was hoping to get. And they did get exactly what they needed. Look, you and I both talked about where they have this little stretch here where they can right the ship. Is it too late? Maybe. But at least they can get on a little bit of a run here, Trent. And you're correct. it started once again to look like and resemble the team that most fans thought they were going to get, and not the one that has stumbled out of the block so horribly that they have put themselves way behind here trying to make the dance. They're going to have to do something absolutely spectacular during the conference play, and so far that hasn't started out well at 0-2. So can they get things going here? I hope so. It's much better when we're talking about having the opportunity for postseason play in the NCAA tournament instead of, well, it looks like you're going to be in the NIT again.
Yeah, and that's kind of the next step for this program. Last year, even though you had a senior in Peter Chock, it was a rebuilding effort, and they got right there to the bubble. They played themselves all the way back. Remember last year, they were losing in December to Nebraska-Omaha, and then they came back and made a good run in the Big Ten. The problem for Iowa is not just the hole that they've dug themselves as part. The Big Ten as a whole is not as good as it was a year ago, so you're not going to have the same opportunities to pick up quality victories that you did in the past. So it's not just going to be good enough to be 10-8, you know, in the Big Ten, and maybe
right,
you do
yep.
so 11-7, maybe even 12-6 is the number that they have to play. And to do that, even in a down Big Ten, that's difficult, Jimmy B. You know, they got a three-game road trip they have to go on in Big Ten play. Maryland, Illinois, and Rutgers. Well, you saw Rutgers right. over the weekend beat Seton Hall.
Yeah.
A good Seton
yeah.
Hall team. Going to Assembly Hall and beating Illinois, that's never easy. Though Iowa beat Maryland last year, still a very talented Terrapin team. You go through the schedule, that's what you have to shoot for. Not 10, not 11, I think 12 victories. And that's coupled with winning your last three games of the non-conference. Southern Utah this week, coming up tomorrow, Colorado on Friday, and then Northern Illinois next week before you get to that point. Still, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but at the
yes.
very least, Iowa's playing better. They're playing with a little bit of a smile on their face, too. It just looked like a team that was much happier to be on the floor. It's easier when you're winning, obviously.
Yeah.
That goes without
mm-hmm.
saying, Jim. But it just seems like maybe a little bit of that fun, a little bit of that chip on the shoulder, a little bit of the jaw that goes on, seems to be coming back for the Hawkeyes.
I agree with you, at least from the game that we watched on Saturday at the Big Four. If it remains like that, well, then you have to understand that, okay, maybe they have flipped the switch and turned the corner. But, Trent, you're absolutely right. And we're not going to put the cart before the horse, but they are going to have to go on an incredible run in the Big Ten. And they will have to go deep into the Big Ten tournament as well if, indeed, they think that they have a shot mm-hmm. at making the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no more losing to double-digit seeds in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament.
No.
That's not going to work with what they've done. Well, Jimmy B, to game two of the doubleheader at Wells Fargo Arena, you and I had the lead at the half, but Iowa State came roaring back, and Lindell Wigginton, kid's a star already, Jimmy B.
He is a star. There's no question. And look, that was, at halftime, they were playing UNI's pace. What was it, a three-point game at the half? And then the next thing you know, in the second half, Iowa State just takes command. And they struggled, Trent. I think they were shooting like 32% from the floor in the first half. And then all of a sudden, the adjustments that they made, confidence factor changed, and Iowa State then started to take control. I'm really looking forward to having Coach Jake on the show in our next hour just to get his perspective on what happened there in the second half. And I know that afterwards he talked about that Cook and Carlson did not have good games, and he pretty much said when they don't have good games, UNI is in trouble, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what happened. And Iowa State got going and then never looked back.
12-0 run really proved to be the difference in that one.
Yep.
You and I this week, they bounce back on Friday. They'll get Xavier, a huge matchup for them. Xavier comes in ranked in the top 10. Xavier had their old problems on Saturday. They had to come back from, I think they were down 22 in their game against East Tennessee State. Came back, though, and got the victory tight in that one. Should be a great game, and for you and I, probably one they have to get to put together a resume good enough for an at-large bid short of winning Arch Madness. We'll talk about that more. As mentioned, Ben Jacobson will join us here this afternoon at about 5:15, but coming up next, we go to Bristol, Connecticut, and a little bit of news out there, Jimmy B, with old John Skipper
mm-hmm.
stepping down. We'll talk with Zubin a little bit about that and much more coming up. Zubin Mehente from ESPN, our first guest here on a Monday. Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Tis the season for year-end projects and increased workloads. Account Temps has perfectly matched candidates that make closing out the year a breeze. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
Show them your love, show them you care. Gifts sent as cash, your gift gets there. Come to a store, their hearts will soar. Best gift is cash, gifts they'll adore.
Get your gifting needs wrapped up today with Western Union. For $5, send up to $50 for pickup at over 43,000 U.S. agent locations. This is sending the best gift of all. This is Western Union. Fees and taxes may vary by brand, channel, and location and are subject to change without notice. NMLS 906983.
Holidays are about family, traditions, and heritage. If you're Irish, Welsh, or Scottish, the only place to find unique Celtic gifts is A Celtic Tradition. From kilts, Celtic jewelry, Balik china, to Irish pride sweatshirts.
A Celtic Tradition. 7672 Hickman Road, Windsor Heights.
Hey, it's me, the donkey emoji. Eee-aw. I just want to say, if you're texting and driving, you're acting like a jack. Put down the phone. Focus on the road and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We continue all the way to 6 o'clock. We get you home safely right here on the Big Talker 1700. Always good when we have a chance to catch up with ESPN's Zubin Mahente, and he joins us right now. Zubin, good afternoon, pal.
Guys, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Let's start with the big news breaking, of course, out of ESPN, and then we'll get to some of the games. The president decides that he is going to resign due to an addiction problem. Did this catch everybody, I'm sure, off guard?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first and foremost, I think you're just hoping for the best for anybody that happens to go through something like that. Last time we were on the phone about a week ago, I had actually just finished, along with maybe 400 to 500 other people here, a summit with John Skipper that he got together all of the anchors and reporters and hosts and the people you see on ESPN networks, writers, reporters, analysts, television, radio, internet, the whole thing, the social team. And that was the last time most of us saw him in a public setting. And so when today's news came down, I think I'm not on social media. I'm one of the very few people that doesn't really do any social media. But today, because I do care a lot about the man, he gave me a tremendous amount of opportunities. I do see a lot of people, at least within the ESPN sphere, basically weighing in and saying just how great he was and giving people a chance. And I think a lot of people can understand this in any walk of life. It doesn't just have to be in the media. Jim, I know you've called play-by-play for a ton of teams. You've worked for the networks. You've worked all over the country. But at the end of the day, somebody kind of gave you that job. Like, I'm sure, and maybe it's not something to go into at the moment, but if I said, who is that one guy or one gal that helped change the course of your career? You know, maybe you were doing minor league sports, and he gave you a shot to do Major League Baseball or the NBA, and you're always sort of indebted to that person. Or Trent, like, who was the first person that said, my goodness, this guy is Iowa through and through. We got to give him a chance on the radio. And you always sort of secretly, no matter where you go and what you do, you sort of feel like, what if I had never met that person? What if I had never been in that spot? What if that person gave somebody else the benefit of the doubt or me? Because we're always at a point in our careers, especially early, where a lot of times the difference between people is negligible. There could be 50 people up for one job, and really all 50 of them are probably adequately qualified, kind of all the same. How do you be the guy that they pick? How do you be the guy, gal that they pick? And you just sort of realize, man, if I had just done this instead of that, if I had gone left instead of right, and you just sort of always remember the people that sort of gave you those opportunities. And I would guarantee if you have any other ESPN personalities on your show and you ask them what John Skipper did for them, I think a lot of people would tell you that even if he wasn't in touch with you on a day-to-day basis, because we do have 8,000 employees, it is a huge company, and I'm just working in the television wing, which is maybe more visible, I think a lot of people would tell you how much they really enjoyed working for him. And I wish him the best. I worked under his predecessor as well, Mr. Bodenheimer, George Bodenheimer, who's going to be returning on a short-term basis. I actually ran into him last month at a college basketball event, so we'll be happy to welcome him back. But I'm sure in any walk of life, whether it's you two or anybody listening, driving home, wherever you are, just that one person that kind of gave you the benefit of the doubt and it kind of led you to success in whatever vocation you're doing, you kind of always give that person the old proverbial tip of the cap no matter how far you go. And I think for a lot of people, including myself, John Skipper was that guy.
Well, certainly some interesting news out of ESPN, and it's been a wild time here over really the last year. What is the mood inside Bristol right now? When you go inside ESPN, is it hopeful for the future? Is there still a lot of trepidation? I mean, day to day, does much change? How is it right now in Bristol overall?
Well, I think it's pretty good just from the standpoint of, I can only talk from the programs I'm on. I do SportsCenter, and I think for ESPN, most people would tell you that SportsCenter is its still most important brand. It's still on every day. It's still on multiple times a day. There's tons of evidence to prove that after a really big game ends, people go right to ESPN for the post game. Even if ESPN doesn't have the telecast. I mean, I think we saw that in very large numbers for Pacquiao Mayweather, Mayweather McGregor, Steelers-Pats game last night. I was doing ESPN after that. And you see the audience come to those things. So I think from my perspective, it's pretty good. And I would say something that one of our executives sort of said at a meeting, well, maybe a couple of months ago. And I think it's easy to obviously, you know, ESPN takes a lot of criticism, but I would say that this executive statement, I think, is a very accurate one, which is, you know, despite what people say, I don't think there's any media organization in the world right now that would switch spots. I think ESPN would not want to switch spots with anybody. I think most companies would want to switch spots with ESPN. But as you guys know, it's one of those things where every media company, every radio station, local, national, regional, they're all trying to figure out where the industry is going. It's evolving. I think technology, for the first time ever, in any vocation that you're in, whether it's the media or entertainment or any form of journalism or television or anything like that, Netflix, Amazon, anything that sort of requires any sort of media or entertainment sort of focus, that technology for the first time is changing faster than people can adapt to it. You know, it sounds funny. At first, you get used to the flip phone, and then you get your iPhone, and then you upgrade your iPhone, you know, and then you learn how to work the DVR, and you figure all that stuff out. But I think for the first time now in 2017, as we head to 2018, the technology is moving faster than the humans. What was great 6 months ago or 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago isn't where people are going today. A lot of times in any business, you're trying to plan out year to year or month to month, and where should we be or what are people going to be looking at. But as you guys know, people's viewing habits, listener viewing habits are changing on a week-by-week, day-by-day basis. So a lot of times in any business, you have to sort of plan for the long and short term, but the short term is becoming so short now, it's becoming literally a minute-by-minute thing. You kind of stick your finger in the air, see where the wind is blowing. It's amazing to see how fast the world is changing. I think we used to be out in front of the change, and now I think technology is moving faster than most of us can even catch up to it. But I would echo just what one of our bosses said, which was, I think, is a fair statement, and that is any company would love to be in the position ESPN is right now. Is everybody experiencing some problems? Sure. But I think that's an industry-wide problem. I don't think that's a problem that's just, you know, delineated down to one place. But I'm pretty sure we're happy with where we're at. The NBA is on fire. I think the NFL is still a product you want to be involved with. And I still think on a day-to-day basis, ESPN does tend to set the agenda for what people are talking about. And I think there's some value in that, too.
Zubin Mahente from ESPN is our guest on the Big Talker 1700. All right, Zubin, you just referenced the NBA and the NFL. Let's start with the Looney Tunes that took place yesterday. I told Trent, in all of the games that I have called, whether if it was on ESPN or ABC or even working locally for an NFL team, I have never seen an official take a piece of paper and put it between the down marker stick or the first down marker stick and the football to measure to see if it was a first down. I have never seen that in all the years that I have called games. That was nuts.
Yeah, you know, when I saw that, I sort of didn't know what to think. And I was, first thing I thought was, I wonder what the NFL is going to say about this. Because obviously, as you know, so much of the oxygen had been dominated by the Steelers game and obviously the call in that particular game. But when I saw that in the other game, the night game, I was surprised that the NFL statement was as sort of tame as it was. I believe the word they used was unusual. I think the language is going to be a little bit stronger in defense of it. I'm not saying they would come out and criticize the officiating because the call seemed to be where it seemed to be. It's just the method in which you said, Jim, it was placed out. But the idea that they called it unusual was just a weird way to describe the situation. I know the Raiders are very upset about it, and I totally understand, but it's just the way that the league reacted to it. I just think we're in a situation where when you have 500 replays and Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are looking at one image and one catch, non-catch, over and over and over and over again, and we're watching everything in HD, and we see everything in super slow-mo, and the sky cam and the All-22, it just seemed like somewhat of an archaic way to sort of figure out what the distance was going to be. I think, you know, we just went back to technology in our last question. With everything we have at our disposal, I don't think it was the wrong decision to do it. The league clearly backed them, even though they thought it was somewhat circumspect the way they did it. But just with everything we have at our disposal, especially on a Sunday night football game on NBC, which probably has more cameras than any other game available, with everything that they have at their disposal, to go straight up old school the way that they did. I'm not even sure it's old school. It's unusual school. I guess it's the way it is. That, to me, I think was the bigger fallout. Not the fact that they used it. That was strange, no question. But the notion that that's what they opted for when there are so many other things you feel like could have been at their disposal.
Odd. Very, very odd using the note card. And, well, here we are. Zubin, Jim and I went back and forth with this. Do you like the chains, or are you ready to move into the 21st century and implant a chimp, find something better than the current structure of 10 sticks, 10 yards apart?
I am for the technology, but I think it sounds like common sense. But remember, even when replay came in, I think generally people feel like instant replay has been a very good innovation. I think every once in a while you have those incredulous moments where it seems like something's obvious, and then you look at the replay and it's basically the opposite of what you think is going to happen. But I do believe those incidents are fewer and far between. Generally speaking, replay has been a big boon to any and all sports. But I would caution you to remember, and I think you guys would both remember this, when replay was first trying to pass, it was like a Herculean task to get it to pass. And it just seemed like it was common sense. Like, listen, the game is huge, the stakes are big, it can decide who wins that or goes here or goes there. Specifically in football, obviously it's a little more truncated in the NBA with looking at possession and baseball with the home run and all that. But in the NFL, where they actually open up the rule a little bit, and since you're specifically talking about it, it took a really long time with tremendous resistance on the other side for people that did not want replay. And that's why I think a lot of times, even though we're pushing for more technology, the first down line, the goal line, the field goal line, all this sort of stuff, I just hearken back to how difficult it was to get something like instant replay, which seems like it's nothing but a benefit for the game, and how difficult it was to get that pass. Think about baseball, Trent. I mean, think about how much arguing there was over this intentional walk where you don't have to throw the four balls.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to wear the guy. Oh, no, it just takes away from the integrity of the game. You got to make the pitcher throw four more pitches. If every pitch counts for his pitch count. Think about how long that was hotly debated. That was an intentional walk rule that took forever to get passed. And I just tend to think that even though these things are common sense moving forward, using technology to our advantage, there are just so many people that are holding out. And it doesn't matter if I hold out or you hold out. It's the 32 guys. It's the competition committee. It's the ownership. So over the years, I've just seen them be so resistant in all sports to so many changes that even though something that seems like such an obvious move that could certainly help the quality of the game, the pace of the game, the integrity of the game, especially at a time where the NFL is struggling with all or any of those issues, it's still going to be a while before any of that gets going. But I think it should be done. It's just a lot harder to do than I think people think.
Zubin, we'll let you go on this one. And, of course, the play that took place in the New England-Pittsburgh game. To the letter of the law, it was the correct call. Will the competition committee now have to, when they meet, review and try to change it so we know what a catch is or a catch isn't? What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the biggest question. It's the fundamental nature of what's going on. I heard Mike Tirico say this on a broadcast a few weeks ago, which says something to the effect of, that might not be a catch in the NFL, but it's a catch in the world of common sense. And I think he basically put it the right way, which is, you're right, to the letter of the law, and eventually I think it was a very confusing situation, but Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, as I was watching it and while we were doing the show, eventually picked up on the notion that it was the juggling of the ball and all of that. To me, Tony Dungy made the best point of all. I agree with you, Jim. It's the most fundamental thing in the game. If it's going to be more of a pass league than a run league, and more than half the offensive snaps are going to involve people putting the ball in the air, you'd like to know when the ball is caught and what it means. I think the league's biggest trepidation would be if that play yesterday, and I'm not saying it's not a big play, Jim. It's probably going to mean the AFC is going to go through Foxborough. If that play happens in a conference championship game to put one team in the Super Bowl or to knock one out, or if that were to happen in the Super Bowl to win a game for a team or to, in fact, lose a game for a team on a call like that, that's where I think the NFL's biggest nightmare is. So for me, yes, you want to clean it up and figure out what a catch is and make the explanation understandable and discernible. Al Riveron, the vice president of officiating, came out with a statement that, yes, once you parse it down and think about it and understand it, it makes sense. But in the world in which we live, short attention span society, either it is or it isn't. It looks like it. It doesn't look like it. So for me, it's one of those things where this catch was a big deal, but the league is going to be the huge issue where if 100 million people are watching the Super Bowl and 95 million people that are casual fans to avid fans look like that's a catch and suddenly it isn't and it costs the team a chance to win the Super Bowl, again, it's just the optics of when it, where it happens. I'll leave it to Tony Dungy, who I thought had the best comment of anybody yesterday, and I love Coach Dungy. He's turned out to be a fantastic analyst, but he said it right, and I think he said it somewhere on NBC's broadcast last night. He said, in flag football, that's a catch. In high school football, that's a catch. In college football, that's a catch. The only place in football where that's not a catch is the National Football League. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the officiating. I'm just saying that how could it be adjudicated as a catch everywhere else except the NFL? And I thought that was a really good way to put it. So we'll see what ends up happening, but I just think if that were to happen in a place where America stopped and watched that, it would just be a real issue. But I don't think the competition committee is going to look at it because I think, to your point, they got it right. It was confusing, but at the end of the day, they got it right. And so I don't think they're going to go back and double back on something that they actually got correct. I think they're just going to let it stand. And the big issue now is how can you explain this to the public in a clear and very crisp manner?
Zubin Mehente, ESPN. Zubin, as always, thanks for your time. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow during the noon show with myself and Ken.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
That's Zubin Mehente, ESPN. Some good comments from him. John Skipper resigning today from ESPN. Skipper, any interactions with him, Jimmy B?
I did not. No, he came after I was already working for a different network then at that time.
Gotcha. Yep. Well, certainly a lot of conversation about that. There'll be a lot written and where ESPN goes next. With that, we'll come back on the other side. We're going to go next to John Bonacamp from the Burlington Hawkeye. He was in the building for the Big Four Classic, had a nice article about that today. Also an AP voter. Did the Cyclone sneak into his top 25 this week? We'll talk to John about that. Big Four basketball talk. It's next on Jimmy B and TC.
News, talk, sports. Yeah, we got all that online at 1700kbgg.com.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Sponsored by your locally owned Domino's. Domino's $7.99 large three-topping carryout offer is every day. So no matter what day it is, it's always a good day for pizza. Ask for this offer. Availability and charges may apply.
Since 1920, Fulton & Hay has been the industry leader as a supplier to the food service industry. Everyone can cook like the pros with the latest and greatest cooking supplies and accessories. Let their experts help you select the perfect kitchen equipment and utensils to meet your needs. Bring out your inner chef with one of their monthly cooking classes. Visit their showroom, exit I-235 at East Euclid, 2701 Delaware, or visit their website at boltonhay.com. They can really make you cook.
Cumulus Media Des Moines encourages you to shop local, buy local this holiday season. Our local businesses are the lifeblood of our communities and a major driving force for the local economy, contributing to the tax base, which in turn supports our schools and helps to keep our infrastructure updated. Money spent locally supports all of us here and is very important to maintaining our way of life. 1700 KBGG encourages you to shop local this holiday season. Shop Local is brought to you by these fine local businesses: Bridal Forum, Hilltop Tire Service, and Connet Service. Heating and cooling.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. Washer Systems of Iowa has provided industrial quality pressure cleaning equipment to a wide variety of businesses and individuals for over 25 years. The goal of Washer Systems of Iowa is to provide the best possible equipment along with technical knowledge and superior service. Your pressure washer experts in Iowa. It's Washer Systems of Iowa and the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa.
Me, 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 me.
Take a guess, who's the master of holiday giving?
Me, 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 me.
Because he went to Jared and gave her the unforgettable gift of Pandora, like the exclusive Pandora Winter Charm gift set featuring 12 charms and clips, including Jared exclusives, all in a commemorative keepsake box with savings up to $260. The holiday gift that completely crushes it. That's why he went to Jared. While supplies last, see store for details.
The holidays are here, and whether you're gathered together or miles apart, there's no better way to show a little extra love than with a Hallmark holiday card. Because when you share a Hallmark card with the ones you hold close, you're sharing the magic and wonder of the season. So spread cheer with a holiday card from Hallmark. Available in the card department wherever Hallmark cards are sold.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here from 1700. You've been hearing me for a couple of months talk about New Leaf Wellness. I'm on a couple of programs helping me lose weight, and it has worked outstanding for me. The two treatment programs that I'm on right now, the GAC and the MIC, helping me with my energy levels, weight loss, increasing muscle tone. It's worked wonderfully for me. New Leaf Wellness has a lot of different programs they can help with guys out there. Low testosterone, maybe you're battling migraines, looking to lose weight, or maybe you just hit a plateau in your workout system. New Leaf Wellness can help you. Like they've helped me. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. New year right around the corner. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock here on a Monday. Always good when we get a chance to catch up with John Bonenkamp. The Big Four Classic took place, and Iowa is getting ready for the Pinstripe Bowl as well. He joins us right here on the Big Talker 1700. John, good afternoon, man.
How are you doing?
We're doing great. Let's start with the basketball. Nice win, still over a team that they were supposed to blow out anyway. But with everything that has happened to Iowa so far, at least there were some positive signs, particularly in the second half.
Well, what you saw is what, and this was a kind of a common refrain the other day, was that everybody's like, well, this is the Iowa team that we expected. And to me, it was, this was the Nicholas Bear and Jordan Bohannon we expected. And you can see how important those guys are, because in my mind, it's those two and Tyler Cook that are the kind of the big three of this team, that you're going to need them every night. And, you know, Bohannon's been struggling a little bit with, you know, turnovers. He hasn't felt well. He's had some, you know, health issues here and there. Nicholas Bear missed six games. He's been, you know, kind of, you know, getting back in the rhythm. And what you saw on Saturday was those two guys play really good games. And so I think moving forward, I think that's a good sign that maybe the team has gotten past this malaise that they've had over the last couple of weeks. And I think right now you may see a different team now, because those guys, I think, are starting to play well.
So still hope for the NCAA tournament? Is that too much? I mean, they're probably going to have to win out here in the non-conference, get off to a good start. And with two games already in the bag in the Big Ten, they're already in an 0-2 hole. You're talking about maybe a 12-4 run the rest of the way in the Big Ten. Is that still too much? Is that still too early to even think about with this Iowa team?
Oh, I think anything's possible. I mean, you think back to last year, where they were at this time of year, I believe they were 7-5. They're 6-6 right now. So, you know, there's not much difference. And they ended up almost making the tournament. I mean, they were one of the last ones out. So, you know, anything's possible. It's early December. They're still mid-December, I guess, now. And then, I mean, there's still time to win a lot of games. They've put themselves in a hole. There's no doubt about it. But you can dig your way out of it. You've got a long way to go. You've got a lot of games on the road. A lot of these tough teams that you're going to play in the Big Ten, you're going to get at home. You know, there's plenty of time for this to turn around. You know, you never know what can happen. But, you know, again, they're going to have to start playing well. They're going to have to play consistently well to have a chance to do that.
Having a conversation right now with John Bonenkamp on Iowa. John, this is a team right now that lost its way. I think people are now hoping that it has found its way. Trent and I both believe that, with the exception of maybe two teams, Purdue and Michigan State tops, that this, you might put Minnesota close to that, but not really yet. This is kind of like a down year for the Big Ten, so conceivably they could try to climb back in.
It's a wide open year. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think Michigan State is Michigan State. I think Purdue has really kind of found itself after struggling there right around Thanksgiving when they were in the Battle for Atlantis tournament. You know, but I mean, I think that's what I mean. It really is wide open. You can get into that top three or four really easily if you play well. Now, I mean, again, Iowa dug itself a hole. They're 0-2 in the league. So that's why when January gets here, they're going to have to be, like I said, you know, not just good, but consistently good. And, you know, right now, I think with Nicholas Baer back, I think it gives them that leader that they've needed on the court. You know, that older guy, I mean, he's a fourth-year junior. He knows what's going on. You know, I mean, there's certainly, like I said, there's plenty of time to do a lot of things. It's still mid-December. We're a long way away from Selection Sunday, but they can't have another little skid like they've had here in the past. They're just going to have to play really good basketball every night.
He's known as the Wise Owl. It's John Bonenkamp. He's an AP voter, and he joins us here on Jimmy B and TC from the Burlington Hawkeye. All right, the Big Four Classic overall. You were there for both games. Attendance down a little bit. I know they're a very popular opinion out there. The Hy-Vee Classic, well, it's time for this thing to go away. There's 2 years left on the contract, and Iowa State, let's get rid of this thing after they got rid of the home and homes. I don't want to see that. Of course, I didn't want to see the home and homes go away either.
Right.
But what is the future of the Big Four Classic? Do you think there is a growing sense that we might see the end of this after the next 2 years?
No, I think you'll know more next year. I mean, because you'll get to that point where it's going to have to be renewed. But as I wrote today, you've got an event that has a major corporate sponsor and sold almost 14,000 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is an event that needs to be fixed. I mean, that's a pretty good event for this state. I mean, you know, everybody's like, well, there were some empty seats. Well, there were empty seats at Hilton for Iowa and Iowa State. That's the way of sports right now, is you're starting to see everywhere attendance. I mean, you know, like, I don't want to say attendance is down because you're seeing tickets sold, but I mean, you're seeing a lot of empty seats in places. It was a really good crowd the other day, and it was a good atmosphere. I think if somebody said, oh, it's a stale atmosphere, well, you know, like I wrote today, I've been at those 8:30 Thursday games at the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament when Bradley's playing Indiana State.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen stale until you've seen that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. To me, the key isn't so much UNI, Iowa State, and Iowa, it's Drake. And I mean, if the program can be built and be competitive and play good basketball under Nico Medved, which I think they can. I think he's a good coach. I think he knows what he's doing. Then it's an interesting event. I mean, we're just a couple years removed from three of those four teams playing in this thing being NCAA tournament teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I think it's a good event. I don't see why it should go away. I don't see the criticism. I don't get the criticism of it. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm like you, you know, I miss the old days of the home and homes, but those were going to go away at some point. And it's like, it's better to do this than not to do it at all.
I'm with you on that, John. I will take this and instead of not playing any of those games. Okay, quickly take me to football. Is it just apathy? That's why, and nobody really wants to go to New York over the holidays. It's expensive. It's going to be cold. People were hoping they could go to a warmer climate. Is that why the tickets aren't selling?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a bad bowl for them. You could just kind of, you know, if you get into the idea of reading body language and the night of the bowl selection, I mean, you can tell this wasn't what they wanted. They wanted Nashville. They wanted, you know, somewhere where, you know, fans could drive. If they're playing in Nashville, I think they sell a lot more tickets. And to me, it just seems like an event that it's a game that there really isn't a lot of buzz about. I mean, this is, you know, and not just, you know, I understand that, but at the same time, it's kind of what the bowl system has become, where these schools don't have a lot of say in where they end up. And especially the way the Big Ten has this set up, where you can't go, you know, the same place more than, you know, whatever in so many years, whatever the rules. So it was inevitable that they were going to play in this game, and nobody wants to go. And it's, you know, it's a lackluster matchup. It's, you know, there isn't a lot of buzz to this, and I just think people are saying, you know what, we're going to stay home. You know, because Nashville's a heck of a cheaper trip than New York City is. And so I think that has a lot to do with it, and the weather has a lot to do with it, too.
Hey, John, just about a minute left here. Did want to get your thoughts, sure, though. I had a chance to talk with the coordinators today, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker. Any big takeaways from talking to the head guys?
No, not really. Somebody asked Brian Ferentz how he thought he did in his first year as coordinator, and he said, you know, ask me in 4 weeks, and I'm still trying to prepare for a bowl game. But, I mean, he did, there was some interesting, he's really an interesting guy to listen to because he really can break down things and all that. And you know, and I mean, it was interesting to hear him talk about how things didn't go right against Wisconsin, Michigan State, and how everything went right against Ohio State. So it was a good conversation, but nothing really earth-shattering today. It's you know, they're getting ready for this game, and I think they like where they're at right now.
Thank you, John. It's always good, pal, to catch up with you. Thank you as always. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Have a good day. See ya.
See you, John.
Thank you. There you go. John Bonenkamp right here on the Big Talker 1700. Coming up, by the way, in our next hour, you will indeed hear from the coach of UNI. That's Ben Jacobson. He's coming up roughly at about 5:15. He's right, Trent?
Yeah, 5:15, 5:20. Coach will be finishing up practice, so it'll be right in that area. We'll be talking with Coach Jake about a huge matchup for them against Xavier. Look back at that game against Iowa State. What went wrong during that 12-0 run, and Lindell Wigginton just taking over Jimmy B. You know, kind of renews the talk. He is so good. He's a point guard at the next level. He that's what he has to be an NBA player. One and done still seems like a bit of a stretch, but you see a lot of skills out of this guy, Jim.
I agree with that, and I think it'd be probably, at least what we have seen so far, he'd be best served to at least play one more year until his sophomore year.
Could only help. Could only help. But we'll come back. Again, Ben Jacobson will be joining us here in just a little bit. We'll kick off the 5 o'clock hour. You can join us as well. 264-1700. We're back in a moment.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Sponsored by ShopVac. Got a big mess that needs to be cleaned up? Hurry down to Lowe's to pick up your ShopVac brand wet-dry vacuum with new advanced motor technology starting at just $79.
Kevin Harlan and Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts here from Westwood One with a preview of Monday Night Football brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Turning feelings into jewelry, that's why he went to Jared. From Tampa, Florida, we'll have the call, the Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. Dan, it's another important NFC South game for the Falcons.
Kevin, it was the Falcons' defense that rescued the game and perhaps the season against the Saints. Atlanta finds itself back in the race behind New Orleans going into this potential trap game with the Buccaneers. Tampa's defense has been fantastic at home, and they'll count on the pass defense to control the high-flying Falcons. A matchup to keep an eye on is the Bucs' 5'10 Brent Grimes against Atlanta's 6'3 Julio Jones.
All right, Dan, join us for the Falcons and the Bucs on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Me, 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 me.
Take a guess, who's the master of holiday giving?
Me, 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 me.
Because he went to Jared and gave her the unforgettable gift of Pandora, like the exclusive Pandora Winter Charm gift set featuring 12 charms and clips, including Jared exclusives, all in a commemorative keepsake box with savings up to $260. The holiday gift that completely crushes it. That's why he went to Jared. While supplies last, see store for details.
The Home Depot has the perfect last-minute gift for any last-minute additions to your Christmas list. The Ryobi One Plus 18-volt drill and impact driver kit. You can still grab one for just $99. Two great tools, plus a powerful lithium-ion battery that drives them both. It may be last minute, but it's definitely first rate. The Ryobi One Plus drill and impact driver kit. Still just $99. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through February 3rd, 2018. U.S. only while supplies last.
Do you need Duracell batteries this coming holiday season? Maybe not. Maybe you could trust your kids will be just as happy without them. Maybe you could trust they won't remember you as the parents who spent this Christmas morning driving to a mini mall to get the batteries you forgot while wearing a robe. Or you could just trust Duracell and buy them right now.
It's time for some straight talk. You have their unlimited plan. So why do you keep running out of high-speed data? Never run out again with Straight Talk's new Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get all the 4G LTE data you want, all high speed, and all for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks, only from Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Video typically streams at DVD quality. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite 515-